Love Talk Radio. When I call on your name, Lord, it's all your name. Yeah, I know. Worthy are your Lord. Yeah, I know. See what's coming up with me. Yeah, I know. No other name. Now I see Yahweh never let me go. Every nation of the world loves me.
Change my life and let me go. so hard to do. Teach me how to talk like you. Teach me how to walk like you. Teach me how to act like your sister. I need your love, oh yeah. Take my heart, take my breath. I need your love.
Yeah, keep it up, yeah, keep it up. Keep it up. Let the voice of Jah speak it out. Keep it up. Ooh, make it up. Keep your heart up. Keep your heart up. Keep it up. Ooh, make it up. Let the voice of Jah speak it louder. Find your flow, but listen to the rhythm, let it move your soul. Don't stop, run your race. Never let go of your faith, never let go of your faith. I am walking in victory, walking through the dream, call the enemy. So don't worry about tomorrow, set your heart at ease. Never let go of your faith, never let go of your faith. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Go through it. The truth, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the famous one to rule all other mountains, out of heaven, from the water, they searched it and died for me. Walk out the grave of a billion demons with his feet in the lead. They raise a new baby. Show no love. Oh my. Show no love. Oh yeah. Who's there? Through all mountains high and valleys low. Been there when all others used to go. No condemnation, salvation is the only thing that he brings. Break all the shackles from your feet if you are brand new. Don't be seen. It's a story.
Kept me safe from the snow. master that you said you come unto. You brought me every hurdle. Good morning, Father. Thank you, Lord. I love you, thank and praise you. The most high. Morning, Father. Thank you, Lord. Tomorrow's promise to no one. You live today, then forgot me. So sing a new song. Sing over you. Adonai, most high, residing over Ryan. El Shaddai, you will provide. I can't deny it. My soul is crying. Oh, give thanks unto the Most High for His mercy and your return by never. Good morning, Father. Thank you, Lord. Give thanks and praise to the Most High. Good morning, Father. Thank you, Lord. Give thanks and praise to the Most High. Early in the morning when I rise, I behold your beauty with my eyes. Yahweh Adonai, oh Yahweh Adonai, I bless you, testify. Yahweh is Adonai, I live to testify.
Right here. Thank you. Nobody greater, nobody that can heal like he can. Nobody can do what he can. And we are grateful that he has chosen us. We did not choose him, but he chose us to bless him with our praise, with our glory. He is the great I Am. And we love him because he first loved us. Hallelujah, Jesus. We thank him right now, and we praise him. Yesterday, we talked about our satanic deceptions in the churches, and we are doing part two. This is the final part, then we'll go into something else. When the Lord allow us to come back here, we might talk about too many complaints. People are complaining all the time. Now, we talked about in Matthew chapter 24, verse 24 and 25, the word of God declares that Matthew says what Jesus is saying to us is right here clear. Jesus gives us warning. He laid it out on the carpet for us to see and for us to hear. He just wants us to know before the things happen. Father, let us pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Father, we thank you and we praise you, O God, for this new day that you have given us, that you have allowed us to enter in. As a matter of fact, Lord, you have given us new life today, not yesterday life, but today life. And God, we thank you for the breath of life today that you have you have poured into our lungs this day. God, how you caused our veins to flow freely, the blood to flow freely through our veins. Oh, my Father, we ask today that you just would have mercy upon us, that you would forgive us for our thoughts, for our words, and even our actions, oh God. Lord, that you allow us to step out of darkness into your marvelous light. Father, we ask for your guidance. We ask for your leading this day. As always, God, we ask that you strengthen us, strengthen our vocal cords. Lord, we ask you to touch our esophagus, oh God, that the words will flow freely. Lord, there's so many suffering with thyroid problems. We ask you to heal the thyroid glands today, that many will be able to speak and many will be able to experience your healing power, Lord. So many are suffering with cancer, all forms of cancer, Lord. They're putting so much in the foods that we eat, Lord. And Lord, we ask, Lord, that you do the healing, Lord, that even when we eat the stuff that we should eat, Lord, that it wouldn't harm our bodies, even as your word protects our spiritual body. Lord, we ask that you bless us today as we speak this word in Jesus' holy name. Amen, amen, amen.
Amen.
Welcome,
amen.
Welcome you all to the Power of God's Resurrection Power Church of Christ ministry. Hear what I say, to the Power of God Resurrection Power Church of Christ ministry, because it's not ours, it's his. We are just ambassadors of this ministry. Hallelujah. Jesus said to the disciples, he was talking to them. And as he speaks to them, he speaks to us. A lot of times people say, well, that I was in a church where they say, well, healing was for 2,000 years ago. What he gave to the disciples or the apostles for 2,000 years ago? Well, why would, if he gave them 2,000 years, not, and we know, I use the word if, but we know he gave them power 2,000 years ago. Well, why would he just give them power for 2,000 years ago and leave us without power in the 21st century? And we are his children. A father does not do that. A mother does not do that. A parent does not do that. You're not going to give one child and don't give the other child. Even if the child is a bad child, you're still going to give him something. You might not give him as much as the child that is obedient, but you're still going to give that disobedient something because it's your child, it's your flesh and blood. So Jesus put this thing in here for us, this, as well as for the apostles, and as well for us. For us, for those back then and for us now. So he said to them, he's warning them. He says, for there shall arise false Christ and false prophets and shall show great signs and wonders, in so much that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. He said, behold, remember this, not this, behold, I have told you before. In other words, he said, I have warned you before. It's just like you get in your car, and there has been, when you bought the car, they put a GPS system in there. Hallelujah. But for some reason, you think you know where you go. I've done it before. I'm guilty of that. My wife said, well, are you going to plug the stuff in the, are you going to program the stuff in the GPS? I said, no, honey, I don't need that. I know where I'm going. And guess what? I get lost, and I'm too fast for that particular time back then to say, well, honey, let's put it in the GPS, not this car we got, the cars before. And I'm going around in circles, going this place and that. I think it's going to be the next turn, honey. I think it's going to be the next bend. And look, she said, look, why don't you just stop the car and put it in the GPS so we can get where we go? We're just losing time. And this is what Jesus said. Jesus said, look, I've told you before, you don't have a reason not to see and observe and discern the spirits that are in the house of the Lord. I like to say the house of men. You don't have a reason to doubt because I told you these things are going to happen. Look at the signals that they're making. You can tell what they're doing. They're mesmerizing you. But you think it's good because the music sounds good. The keyboard player's playing well. The drummer is here. Oh, he knows how to hit the strings. The bass player knows how to pluck the strings. And the rhythm guitar, the lead guitar. And don't talk about that lead vocalist. She is off the chain. He's off the chain. When he begins to sing, you get goosebumps. Well, that's all you're getting is goosebumps. I'm just telling you the truth. You're just getting goosebumps. You're not getting no growth for your spirit. Why? Because there's deception in the house. And Jesus told us this. Let's go somewhere else. Let's go to Ephesians. And this is who you are now. Jesus talked to us. He speaks to us through the word. When Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. If the Lord said the same, I might not say it too long because I have a doctor's appointment today. But Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. And you has he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. No. We are not the same people that we were 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 2 days ago. We're not the same persons. We're not the same people that we were. We have been changed from the inside out because he quickened us when we call on him in faith. And in repentance, he quickened us. He cleansed us from all unrighteousness. He drew us out of darkness into his marvelous light so that we now are able to see the things that are happening in the house of the Lord. He has quickened us, not only for ourselves that we can discern between good and evil, but that we can help our brothers that can't see and can't hear to discern. We can show them. So he says, and you have been quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. He gave life to us. This is what Jesus did. He empowered us with himself. The very spirit that lives and dwells in us is the spirit of Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost, living on the inside of us. But sometimes we do not give it the latitude or allow it to do what he can do. He, not really it, but he, because he's not it. But we do not allow him to do what only he can do inside of us. We think that we can do it. We trust our own intellect and our knowledge, our degrees and stuff we trust. But, you know, I went to seminary school. I have a degree from seminary school. And I can prove you. I can show you right now. And you know, we're taught that stuff. But it doesn't matter how long we were in seminary school, you cannot. You don't have the knowledge. We don't have the knowledge of the Holy Spirit. He has more knowledge. If we go from, if he had stayed instead of 4 years and we stayed 10 years or 12 years, we still wouldn't know enough to compare with the Holy Ghost. Listen to what he says. Wherein in time past, you walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now working in the children of disobedience. No, see, before we were led by Satan. Satan was controlling us. We were doing things that we shouldn't be doing. Even when we look back now, you take an inventory of your own lifestyle. You look at your lifestyle. We look at our lifestyle and see how far we came. That's a view. Sometimes you find yourself saying, man, did I do that? You know, that guy from on a sitcom Urkel, he said, did I do that? You know, we find ourselves falling like Urkel. Did I do that? Because you can't really see yourself doing the things that we have done, but we were not in control. The God of the air, Satan, the devil, Diablo, the Beelzebub were leading us. He was causing us to do things that we wouldn't do. But now that we are in our right mind, in the mind of Christ, we have the mind of Christ, we are doing the things that please him. We're no longer walking in darkness. We're walking in light. We're no longer the children of disobedience. We are the children of obedience. Now, he continued here. He said, among whom also we also had our conversations in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Now, do you know that? We had our conversation. How many of us used to cuss like drunken and say, I can put my hand up for that. I don't have to wait to see nobody then. I put my hand up first. Understand? Because the way I walk in a conversation that I had, every other word that flew out of my mouth was a cuss word. Hallelujah. Why? Because Satan was leading me. He was guiding me. He was telling me what to say and what to do and what not to do. Hallelujah. When I want to do good, bad was always there, like Paul says. Hallelujah. Even though I was brought up in church once I get out. And, you know, I was going there because my mama wanted me to go. I wasn't going because I wanted her. All of my nephews and nieces and all of them was going to church because they that part of the family had finances. We didn't have any. We were barely scraping through.
Mama would make sure my shoes was clean, the one pair of shoe I had. And she made sure that my one little clip-on tie, you know, really had to know how to tie. One clip-on tie to clip onto the collar. She clipped that collar, tie on my collar, and she made sure the little white shirt I had was clean. And it was starched and earned. She did. She made sure it was fresh, good. All it looks real good, like we had some funds. Hallelujah. She was making sure that I go, but I was going because I want my mama to be happy. But in reality, my spirit wasn't there. My body was there, but my spirit wasn't there. And see, this is how we were when we were in the world. And when we come to our senses, you know, through somebody praying for us, somebody laying hands on us, somebody telling us the truth, and we come to know that Jesus is Lord, that he's the one went to Calvary, something happened on the inside. We step out of darkness and step into his marvelous light. Here, let's go somewhere else. Glory to God. Let's go to Ephesians, since we're still there. And we just want to get 3 verses there. But you can read this. This old book of Ephesians is so good. Go to chapter 6, and we're going to talk about the armor for a little bit. Glory to God. Ephesians chapter 6, the last book. Hallelujah, Jesus. We're talking about there are satanic deceptions in the churches, part 2. But Paul says, the writer here said, he said, no, you have to really be ready. You can't get ready after this stuff start happening. If you're going to go and visit some of these churches, regardless of what you know or don't know, you have to be prepared. You can't wait till you get where these sorcerers and warlocks and witches are working, operate under the power of Satan, and say, well, look, I better go back and search my Bible for some scriptures so I can't let this stuff come on me. No, you got to be ready. When the apostles was there in the book of Acts and they were sharing that word, they were ready, were prepared, they were filled. And when the seven sons of Sceva think that they can get their stuff, you can't get it like that. They weren't prepared. They're praying for the man. No. And they want to think they can do the same thing the apostles can do. What happened? The demons jump out the man and jump on them, whip them, and strip them naked. They run on down the street naked. Some think that they see you praying, and see you laying hands on people, and see you calling on the precious name of Jesus, and people are and the Spirit is healing them, and people are delivering them and setting them free. Give them a clear mind to think. They think that they can do what you're doing. They don't understand the time that you have put in fasting and praying and seeking the Lord, and asking God to cleanse you so that the righteousness of Him can enter you. Hallelujah. They don't understand. They think that we just get up one morning, all of a sudden, we're going on Blog Talk Radio. We're going on Church in the Air. We're going on the Round Table. We're going on the Lighthouse of Favor. They think that they think that we just got up one day, we can do this thing. No, you can't do it like that. You've got to spend time with Him. Spend time with the Savior. So when you come before witches and warlocks, the power that they have will not be able to infiltrate your spirit, your mind, your soul. Hallelujah. Because they're out there, they're teaching and preaching. Hallelujah. And some of them, sometimes, from time to time, they will say, God, but which God are they calling? Which God are they calling? You got to understand, because the Bible just told us that Satan is the God of the air. He's the God of the air, and they're controlled by this spirit. So we have to be ready. Now, and he says, now finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Not your might, not your mama, not your daddy, not your boss, not your supervisor. We got to be strong. And how are we going to get strong in the power of his might? We got to get in the word. We got to get in his word so the word can clean us. The word can rejuvenate us. The word can restore us. Because what the word does, the word will convict us to how we're living. How we're living, as I talked yesterday about examining ourselves. Taking inventory of your own mind, your own heart. Well, we know how to get into Genesis, and we know how to go to Revelation. We can run through Ephesians and Philemon and so on. We can go through Micah and all these different books we can hit, and we know where to find them. We don't got to go in the index and look anymore. Before, we had to scroll through the index, but now we can go straight there. We know which book is after, which book is before. Hallelujah. We think we got it. No, he said, check yourself. Before you try to take the moat out of your brother's eye, take the plank out of yours. Then you'll be able to see clearly to take the moat out of your brother's eye. This is what he told you in chapter 7 of Matthew yesterday. But what happened is we spending too much time pointing. I tell you this yesterday. I'm saying again, the Holy Ghost said, we are spending too much time pointing fingers at people. God wants us to discern between good and evil. Why? Because he has made us watchmen. And the sheep that we are watching don't have the understanding that we have yet. They don't yet there, though. With the teaching and the preaching, and all that God has given us for the sheep that he put in our path, they will get to the same stage that we are, and maybe even surpass us. But God said, while they're eating the grass, while they're out here eating the grass, before they get to the real good stuff, we have to make sure that we give them what he's given to us. We got to examine ourselves so that we don't deceive them. And we have to see the ones that are deceiving or set up to deceive us and them. This is what it's all about. He said, you got to be ready. You got to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. He says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. See, what happened is we only want to put on some armor when we're going through some trials. When we are facing some trials, we want to put on some armor. We want to say, well, you know, I think I need to fast. I need to pray. I need to study my word. Well, for your faith, we got a brother, sister, uncle, aunt, somebody, a friend is facing some very serious time. We got to pray. We want to pray now. You see, if we are praying and fasting, and we are making time to pray, and fast and seek God, we don't have to go in there. All of a sudden, it's already in us. We can speak it. We can speak to the mountain. We can speak to the situation, to the circumstance. We can speak to it because we are already powered up. I can't get in my car and drive and go somewhere if I don't already have gas in the tank. I got to get somebody to drop me to the gas station with a can to pick up a couple of gallons to put in there and then go fill up. But when I know my car is filled, I say, okay, baby, I'm ready to go. I just press the button and I can look on the monitor and I can see when the truck is started. I see the lights come on the back of the car. I look on the monitor and I say, start. I say, honey, we can go. It should be cool by now. It should be warm by now. Depends on what season we're in. I said, we can go. Because my gas is already attacked. Well, if you don't have this thing inside your stomach, excuse me, if you don't have this word of God in your spirit, man, you're not ready. You're not ready to go to war. We said we are warriors, but are you ready? Are we ready to do war? Because the devil is ready to kill us. He comes to kill, steal, and to destroy. But if we are ready to war, we'll say, well, yeah, but Christ come, that we will have life more abundantly. Why? Because we know we are empowered already. We have him on the inside, working on the inside. We don't have to try to get connected to him. We don't have to press through the crowd like the woman with the issue of blood to touch him. We're already connected. He's in us. Glory to God. These folk that inside the house of God are being led by Satan. And even you look and see some of the signals that the signs that they're doing. If you study the signs, see, God don't want us to be innocent. I don't got to study the signs because I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. Well, you go up there saying you're a Christian, you don't know the weapons that the enemy have and see what's going to happen to you. Go up there, I tell you. I challenge you. Go up there. And see, you don't know the weapons that the enemy is using. And all of a sudden, you are mesmerized. You are in the house. And you don't know, you start doing things that you don't know the reason why you're doing things, but they mesmerize you. You got your mind upside down. I hear what a woman was going to a service, and a woman went to the service and was mesmerized at the service, started stripping her clothes off right at the altar. Stripping her clothes off. And as soon as it took off, she took off somebody trying to put the other piece back on. She put it off another piece. Man, we got to be ready. Because you don't know what this thing is out there. It's out there. What type of anointing? Is it a holy anointing or evil anointing? What kind of anointing are we facing? This is what we're dealing with. And these folk are doing this stuff. No. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Let me just say this. Not all the preachers are doing that. Not all the preachers are out there just doing stuff to get money. Listen to me. They're not selling it sold to the devil. Not all of them, but a lot of them are. I guarantee you, a lot of them are. They're millionaires. They have become millionaires. Their homes are like castles. They have more bedrooms than their family can sleep in. They have more bathrooms than they can shower in. You understand what I'm saying? Because that's what they want. But we are not like that. What we want is more of Christ and less of us, less of the world. That's what we want. That's what we're seeking. But the writer said, this is what he said, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We got to understand that that our war, our battle is not against flesh and blood. We're not fighting against each other. Even the preacher that is preaching and is under the spell of witchcraft and sorcery, under the spell of Satan and agents, we're not fighting him. We are fighting the ones, we are coming against the ones that is controlling him or her. And once we know that, then we can battle. Hallelujah. And we understand that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to put them down a stronghold. So what we have to do, we have to tap into the weapons of our warfare. They're not physical weapons, they're spiritual weapons. And the Bible tells us. So what we got to do, we have to stay connected and sharpen our weapons. Hallelujah. Listen to what he says. He said, wherefore take on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done so, to stand. Hear what he said to you. You got to put on the whole armor. And you'll see the armor. A lot of us know of the armor. But do we use the armor? A lot of us as preachers all over the world. Listen to me today, all over the world. The Holy Ghost is speaking to us, all of us. I'm getting hit with this first. Because I'm first partaker. Do we put on the whole armor? Or we do just put on some that make us feel good? Because I got up this morning and I prayed while I was laying on the bed. That's the last piece of the armor. But I got up this morning and I prayed. Because if you want to see it, it's right here. He said, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. This is what he says. So we got, that's the last piece. But we start with that in the morning. We start with that in the morning. And once we do that, we feel like we got the battle win. I can go tight because I pray already. There's much more to be done. See, if you watch and see what God is saying here in this armor, this full armor, is so important. It's so very important. The first piece of armor is truth. Not prayer, truth. Listen what he says. This is so powerful. That's what I always say, you know, people, you got, as long as you pray first in the morning, you all right. Truth comes when we begin to repent, starting to repent. Start repenting. Ask God to forgive your mind, your thoughts. You see, sometimes the devil will come at us most of the time when you're laying in bed and resting. Drop a thought in you. That you ever heard about something called a wet dream? I'm telling you, we are growing up on this line. Well, the devil will have you thinking about some man or some woman, vice versa. And the next thing you know, you're having a climax like you're having a sexual intercourse with that person. Well, you got to repent for that stuff. You just fornicated in your sleep. You just commit adultery in your sleep. I know they don't teach this kind of stuff in the house, but this is what the devil does. This is what the agent does. I have a friend from my country. She was in New York spending time with her sister. And she called me up. I was in Virginia. She said, Apostle, man, you won't believe what happened to me. He said that we don't know what to do. Well, I had to give her some scriptures and stuff and tell her how to clean the house. He said this demon would come in the house. It was a sex demon. And the demon would ride on her at nighttime. And when she get up in the morning, she got all this black and blue because she was light-skinned. And she had all this black and blue mark between her legs and on her breast, like the demon squeezed her breast and all this stuff. I mean, because Satan attacked you. I know we said, well, no, that can't happen to me. But if you're not girded up, right? If you're not girded up in the right armor, he'll do it to you. Because he's coming. He wants to stop you in your sleep or out of your sleep. And see, because these folk inside the house are not teaching the truth, we don't know what to do. Most of us don't know what to do. So And we just saying Jesus, 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 but we're not using the weapons of our warfare. We're not using, we don't know what to pull up the book because they're not teaching us. Hallelujah. Thank God that we got some great teachers on this line that teach you the truth. That's what he said, look, stand therefore having your loins girded about with truth. See, the first piece of armor. And having on the breastplate of righteousness. See, they said, well, you don't get an armor. Because once you have truth, the devil is the liar. He's the father of life. And he was a liar in the father of life from the beginning. Let's go to John 8:44. Keep your finger there. Let Jesus tell us. Let Jesus tell us, please, so we can see it plain for ourselves. John 8:44. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Ghost. See, you got to understand, once you put on this truth and start your day out depending on him, trust in him, what happens is you begin to walk in victory. We begin to walk in victory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is what Jesus says. You are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abhorred not in the truth. He didn't stay in the truth. Because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Now, the devil could not stand in the truth. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. This is Jesus speaking. The devil was there in truth, in the truth. Where truth is, Jesus is truth. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh to the Father except through me. Or by me, same thing. The devil was in heaven in the midst of truth. He couldn't stand with it. Because from the beginning, the Bible said, from the beginning, hallelujah, hallelujah. That's what the Bible says. Glory to God. He was a murderer, what he was doing in the Garden of Eden from the beginning. He was trying his best to destroy truth from the God in the Garden of Eden. It began there. Hallelujah. That's the beginning for Satan. His objective was to destroy truth. That's why we got to put on truth, the first thing, because you can't touch it. The first thing. Then he says, the breastplate of righteousness. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. See, when we walk out, we're walking out in truth and righteousness. And we have the gospel to carry us. The gospel is the plane that we travel on. It's the boat that we ride in. It's the car that we drive in. The train that we sit on, the gospel. You never heard it like that before. He says, having above all the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. See, we got to be fully armored, not partly armored. We have to start this day every day with the truth. And how you do that, as I said, start with repentance. Start with repentance. Because none of us are to that place that we can say we've done it. We got it done. We got it together. Start with repentance. Ask God for forgiveness. Thoughts, words, deeds, actions. Ask God. That's what they say in Hollywood. Get set, ready, action. That's what they do. They even start that way. Preparing their way to make their nasty movies. Now, we got to prepare our way to do the truth. Righteousness, holiness. Now, he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. See, you're praying enough for yourself. The problem is we just pray for me and my phone no more. Me and my phone no more. And while we do that, we think that we have done. Go to Revelation chapter 18. Talking about there are satanic deceptions in the church. And people say, well, you can't talk about the church like that. Jesus talk about it. Jesus talk about it. He gave us the right to talk about it. 18:2. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon, the great, is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean, hateful bird. Now, you can see these birds as you look at the birds, you can look at these birds you can see these birds as people, or you can see them as regular birds. But the thing is that what we're saying is that everything has come into this Babylon now. Folk are not thinking about righteousness or holiness. Everything that they're doing is unclean. Hallelujah. They're not thinking about tomorrow. They're not thinking about eternity. They're not thinking about everlasting life with Jesus. They're not thinking about that. Eternity with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. They're not thinking about, they're thinking about here and now. What can we have? What can we do? Hallelujah. And God is saying, no, this place is going to become so corrupt and so vile that you don't even want to be here. You don't want to be here. This is what we always say, that we are not belongs to here. We are passing through. We're sojourners. We're passing through. But if your mind is to stay here, listen, what's going to happen? You're going to be activating the spirit of Satan. Because he know he ain't got no other place to go. He know he ain't got no other place to go. So he want to get as much people that want to stay here in hell with him. God said, no, you got to gird yourself up. Put on truth. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Have the helmet of salvation. Defeat shrouded with the gospel of peace. You want to have the sword of the spirit. See, you got to have the faith. You got to put it all on. Say, no, I can't go this morning. Maybe we got to, let's just get here. No, say, well, I cooked my husband some good spare ribs. I had some good fried chicken, some fish. Yes, I cooked him some mashed potatoes, had the greens and all that stuff. I did a good job for my husband, my wife. Oh, yeah, I let my wife lay in the bed and I made her breakfast and all that stuff. Oh, that's good. Oh, that's good. But that's not going to make it in. We got to start with the truth. Sometimes we speak too loud to our mates. You know, we speak loud to them because they agitate. I may tell you this because you all need to hear this is the truth. Sometimes we all speak too loud to our mates because they agitate our spirit man. I know I do it from time to time. And quick, I got to say, honey, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry I raised my voice at you. Why? Because the devil will use that to take you to hell with him. Hallelujah. That's why Jesus said, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Don't let it. Sin. We'll take you out. The little small stuff that you just play and say, well, don't worry, but that's just small stuff. I just raised my voice at her. And you're going to sleep. Don't even make up. Don't make up. And in the morning when you get up here, the devil start with that same thing. Bring that same thing with what? Because you went to sleep with it. God is saying that we have to open our spiritual eyes. Go to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Jesus, have mercy. Hallelujah. This morning I was sitting here and I said, you know what? Man, I'm going to call that doctor and tell him, because I feel so good in my body. I was going to tell the doctor, I said, man, let's postpone the appointment for today, for another day. But then I heard in my spirit, what you can do today, why postpone it for another day? So because the day that I might postpone for that day, I might get a job for that day. So I said, I'll go down and see him and let him talk his talk. Now, Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. No. What's that? These people have their own way of talking. Hallelujah. They take the word of God and turn it to make it sound the way they want it sound, to please them. Hallelujah. When you hear a preacher tell you, well, put the money on the altar and let me walk on it, and when you get home, you're going to find money in your mailbox, you've got to be a fool to take your money on your wallet or send you a check and put it on that altar. But they mesmerize the people. I'm telling you what to do. And people go and put their money on the altar so that that preacher, you know the preacher, he got two Rolls Royces, and they can walk. He can walk on their money. Then he put it in his bank. So Paul says, beware lest any man spoil you or deceive you through philosophy. That's fancy talking, fancy words, and vain deceit. After the rudiment, the traditions of men, and after the rudiments of the world, you know, the customs of the world, and not after Christ. You see, if this thing is not coming, hallelujah, for in him dwelleth all Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So if they're not speaking about Christ and they're coming with all this, I was in the church with a preacher, with a teacher before, a teacher in a school, and a teacher, he knew how to elaborate and use all of these gigantic words, but it wasn't pertaining to the gospel. And people say, oh, my pastor, where did he? He said, what did he teach? I know what he was teaching about, but it was real good. And the people leave the church and go and do the same foolish stuff that was contrary to the word of God that they were doing before. This is why so many people leave. The church hardly have anybody in the church now. Big $1 million, $2 million church. You know what I'm saying? Because they're not teaching the truth. They're not warning the people against these witches and warlocks and soothsayers and Jew, workers of juju. No, in the Second Thessalonians, let's go there. I told you I'm not going to keep you all too long today because I got some stuff. I got to run around here and do some stuff with my physical body, get some checkups and stuff like that. Second Thessalonians chapter 2 and 3. Paul says, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. The Lord is faithful, who shall strengthen you and keep you from evil. So how is this going to happen? We got to stay connected. I think Apostle Jefferson said that last week. You got to stay connected. If you don't stay connected in the word of God and with the people of God, guess what's going to happen? We become a target, not just you, but we become a target for Satan and his agents. Because the more that we fellowship, the stronger we all get, the more we fellowship. See, because you're teaching one thing, I'm teaching one thing, she's teaching something, and we all teaching the same thing, but different styles. And we're getting different revelations from the Holy Ghost, and it helps us to grow. And then we gel together and become one in Christ. Hallelujah. In the Godhead. Hallelujah. We become one. Now, let's jump down to a couple of verses. We're in chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians, and we just did verse 3. Let's jump down to verse 9 to 12. Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed. Wherefore also we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now Paul begins to say, look, he started talking about those that don't believe, those that was operating in the world, with the world system, according to the world system. The world system is controlled by Satan and his demons or his agents. He said that they will be punished with everlasting destruction. That's who he's talking about. But he said that you, because you believe the word, you honor the word of Jesus Christ, guess what happened? He said you're going to be there ready to glorify Jesus when he comes, to honor him. To honor him. Glory to God. This is what it's all about. It's honoring him, praising him. This is why Jesus has prepared us to praise him, to glorify him. He made us, he created us to praise him, to honor him. But not we're getting away from honoring God and praising God. Keep your finger there and go to First Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy, I might give you some more of this stuff. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And let's hit verses 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Do you hear what Paul is saying? Look at what I'm telling you all this morning and yesterday. There are satanic deceptions in the churches. And Jesus began to tell you to prepare yourself. Watch in prayer. Discern that these things are here. They don't want you to hear these things. Because they want you to be blinded, deaf, that you don't hear what is being said. It's in the Word. It's being said in the Word. It's in the Word of God. So that we can walk circumspectly. That's what Paul says. He said, come up from among them and be separated and touch not the unclean thing. He said, and I shall receive you unto myself. You shall be my sons and daughters, and I shall be your Lord. Said the Lord. But we don't want to do that. Because we want to sit and indulge in the things that are going on in the world around us. Because the preacher down there look good. He's have three services. Look at people running, knowing that Joel Osteen is not preaching the truth, not teaching the truth. He have three services, and every service is full. He got 100 baskets, 200 baskets moving around, and they're full. The people filling them up with their money because he's saying what they want to hear, not what they need to hear. Hallelujah. We got hard, and there's three of us on Blog Talk Radio that's giving to help the poor. And we got thousands of people listening to us. Thousands of people downloading the message. Some from here to America, to Africa, to India, China, Japan, the Caribbean. All in Europe. Australia. Amsterdam. They're downloading the messages. Do you see them selling anything to Cash App? Or PayPal? Or to my address to help the poor? No. But they're going to give to the ones that are teaching sorcery, witchcraft, teaching what suffices their flesh, because witchcraft suffices the flesh. It satisfies the flesh. No, let's go in here. In each case, Christ demonstrate admonition is that we should have healthy skepticism of miracles because miracles may produce deceptions. We got to be watching. We go to these prophetic services and we see these things going on. We are moved because the man came out and threw some water across the congregation and people start jerking and jumping and like the Kundalini spirit. But we're not seeing any evidence. It is not that the miracle does not occur. The more important point is, does it witness to the truth? Does it witness to the ultimate reality? The will of God. Does the miracle that these people are doing, that these witches and warlocks and sorcerers, are there miracles that they're performing, is it glorifying God? No, most of the time when they are doing stuff, this witchcraft stuff, they are pumping up their own selves. They say, I did this, I did that. They don't say that God worked through me. God used me today in the service. They don't say that because it's all about them so they can get more money. And both Jesus' instructions in the New Testament and the Moses teaching in the Old Testament, we said yesterday, it is clear, regardless of the wonder done, if a person even implies that we are free to disobey God, the miracle is not a demonstration of God's truth. A miracle, it was, but it does not validate God's truth. We must be especially skeptical of those who say that they believe in keeping God's law and then turn right or wrong and say that the Sabbath and holy days are no longer necessary and that true Christians can keep Christmas, Easter, and Halloween, etc. But they believe to keep God's law. It is especially deceptive because so many of such people are really nice individuals. Folk are nice individuals, but they're not glorifying God. Because if you call yourself a Christian and you're celebrating Christmas, Easter, and Halloween, and these type of all of these days that the paganistic crowd are celebrate, but you don't honor the Sabbath day, are you really a Christian? Because you become now disobedient. The place that we need to get to is where that our lifestyle is in obedience to God. Because your lifestyle, our lifestyle is our ministry. A lot of people say, because I got the big, I got the new building now, and the building can handle at least 3,000 people. The building can hold at least 3,000 people. So we are doing great, but we're not honoring God. Go to Hosea chapter 10. Hosea chapter 10. Hallelujah, Jesus. Yes, hallelujah. Thank you, Brother Deacon. We have to obey God's word. When we set up churches, we're not going to have service on Sunday. It's not, if we do have service on Sunday, it will be not our main service. Our main service will be Saturday. In Hosea chapter 10, verse 1 and 2, Israel is an empty vine. He bringeth forth fruit unto himself. According to the multitude of his fruit, he hath increased the altars. According to the goodness of his land, they have made goodly images. Their heart is divided. Now shall they be found faulty. He shall break down their altars. He shall spoil their images. Now you see that? Hosea the prophet, 1 and 2 was telling you that folk can be praising and prospering, but don't have a connection to God. And what will God do? God is going to destroy all the altars that they've set up to worship other gods. People are worshiping their cars, their homes, their swimming pools, because they are prospering. These prophets and these pastors, they're prospering, and they don't have shame in telling you about how much stuff they got. They'll tell you how much stuff they have, because that's where their blessings are. Hosea exposes the problem between God and Israel. He described Israel as a luxurious grapevine, sending runners in every direction, indicating a bountiful crop. It indeed produced great material prosperity, but it is consumed through self-indulgent gorging. This is God's way of showing that Israel abused his prosperity. It used its prosperity for the purposes of idolatry. Its prosperity played a part in corrupting the Israelites' hearts, which is why Hosea mentioned the divided or disloyal heart in context with its bountiful fruit. No. As soon as we begin to prosper, we forget to give God glory. We forget to give. In other words, we start building things that make us look better. Hallelujah. We start getting involved and connected with people, places, and things that glorify us. You see, preachers, as soon as they start to get that stuff off them, we're not going to be like that. They start wanting to hook up with the best preachers. Not the best, but the ones that think they are the best preachers. You know, we got preachers. I know preachers that they say, well, you know, I send my tithes to TV Jakes every month. I make sure I send, you know, my tithes at least once a month. I send my tithes to TD Jakes. I send my tithes to Joel Osteen. Never went to the church before. Never went to the building before. Never meet the man in person. You understand? But they say they send their tithes because they want to tell somebody, well, look, you know, my church is under TD Jakes ministry. My church is under Joel Osteen ministry. They're being led by satanic forces. They wouldn't go and say, well, look, I got a little church down the street that only got 12 members. And I want to be underneath that pastor because I've been to sit down there and I listened to him. And I was following my Bible. I was following him in my Bible. I was following her in my Bible. And I could tell that's a woman of God. I could tell that's a man of God. Look, matter of fact, I was watching them. I was watching them from a distant way, how they talk to each other. I was listening to them. I was watching how they treat people. I followed them around. They didn't know that I was following them. I had my GPS connected to their car, so I know where they were going, and I was following them. I know that's a man of God. That's a woman of God. They weren't sent to you. A large part of this world appears as its offer of financial security. Many, many preachers today only focus on financial security. However, God shows there is a possible harmful secondary effect. As people become financially secure, their intention is divided from his purpose to vain and unimportant things. In other words, prosperity turns people's heads. There is no doubt that prosperity is good, but unless one is properly focused and disciplined, it can also be a demanding master because of its power to distract one into idolatry. Recall God's prophecy in Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 15, predicting that when Israel prospered, then it would rebel. God spoke this word before it even happened. This is why we got to look and we have to search God's word for ourselves and see what. If we put our mind on building a castle, is the castle going to have control over us? If we put our mind on getting the best vehicle, is the vehicle going to have control over us? Now maybe it's raining today, and the pastor says, I want all the leaders to come down to the building because your car is in the garage and you have a nice ride. 2022, you got it before it even hit the showroom floor. You don't want it. You say, well, I'm not going to take my car out there. I know the pastor wants everyone to come down, the leaders to come down, but I'm not going on there. I'm not taking my car out anywhere. What would you do? Now the car becomes an idol to you. You don't want the car to get wet. You don't want the paint to have dust on it, the mud splashing up on all that stuff. Don't let this happen. Once Israel begins to prosper, they rebel against God. They made themselves gods. They built idols. They begin to do idol worship when God had already told them before, don't get connected with the Canaanites and the Jebusites and the Hittites and the Hivites and all this type. He said, don't get connected with them because they worship idols. They worship other entities. Hallelujah. Worship no other God but me. This is connected with the curse of the Laodiceanism, because God shows in the Laodiceans what can happen spiritually as people increase materially. Because such people are drunk to riches, deceptive promise, their judgment is in danger of being radically altered. The Laodiceans evaluate themselves saying, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing. Revelation 3 and 17. Now we get to a place that when we begin to prosper, we don't need nobody. We tell ourselves, I don't need pastor. I don't need deacon. I don't need elder. I don't need the usher because I got everything on that. We do that. We do that. People do that. Not us per se, but folk in the house and folk outside the house, in the house and outside the house does that. It's showing they start to prosper. They forget that you were their school here, childhood friend. We went to elementary school together. We grew up. We even went to high school together. Matter of fact, we end up going to the same colleges. They forget who you were because they're prospering. They're doing much better than you're doing. They started with a little building, but now they got three buildings. I don't want to deal with you no more. They cut you loose. He is deceived in thinking that his mature prosperity proves that God approves of his conduct and attitude. His overall conduct may not be too bad, but his poor self-analysis persuades him that he has no urgent need to seek God any further. He then merely floats, going through the motions, even feeling good about himself as he neglects so great salvation in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. His opinion of his holiness as compared to God's judgment is so far off base, it causes Jesus Christ to regurgitate him from his body. Remember in the book of Revelation, the Bible said, if you are lukewarm, either you be hot or cold, and if you're lukewarm, he will spew you out. God regurgitates you. Recall the mention in Hosea chapter 10, verse 1, of increasing and rebellishing altars. Just before Israel fell to Assyria, one would think that if altars increase during this period of prosperity, then religion is flourishing. Indeed, religion flourishes as Amos, Hosea's contemporary, clearly reports. Hosea chapter 5, verse 21 to 27. However, it was not the religion God gave to Moses, but idolatry that flourished. It was a corruption of that religion. For the Israelites syncretized that holy way was Baalism and other idolatries. In Hosea chapter 10, verse 2, God charged Israel with having a divided heart. Commentaries are at odds over what the Hebrew word translate divided means. Most modern translations use false, deceitful, or faithless. And none of these are wrong, including divided. The Hebrew word suggests smoothness or flattering, describing people who talk the talk but do not walk the walk. In Isaiah 29:11, it clarifies what God means. Therefore, the Lord said, inasmuch as these people draw near with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but have removed their hearts far from me, and their fear towards me is taught by the commandment of men. Their reverence for me was mere intellectual accommodation intended to appease me. They used the name of God frequently, saying they trusted him, but they filled the nation with stealing, lying, and murder. In 2 Kings chapter 17 and verse 33, it illustrates their worship. They feared the Lord, yet served their own gods, according to the rituals of the nations from among whom they were carried away. This describes to a T what Israel did then and their descendants are continue to do today. Moffat renders this, they worship the eternal, and they also serve their own gods. This chapter reports on the behavior of the people placed in Israel after Israel conquest and deportation by Assyria between 722 to 720 BC. These people who became known as the Samaritans feared the Lord but worshiped their own gods. They were afraid of God, but they did not really change their way of life. Thus, they developed a syncretic religious system, a blending of the truth of God and outright paganism. The Jews of Christ, they clearly recognize the portrait blend and despise the Samaritans for it. We have stopped there today. Father, we just thank you and praise you, O God, for this word. We ask your blessing, your mercy, your grace as we went forth today, and ask, God, that you touch the atmosphere as the word has gone to the north, the south, the east, and the west. Lord, do not allow it to return void, but let it do what you sent it to do. Lord, we ask you to heal, to deliver, to restore, to comfort. Lord, one of my brothers in Ghana sent me a message last night. His wife, father, died. And we pray, God, for you give her the strength that she need, oh God, to continue doing what you called to do, that she stands with her husband as he is an apostle, a man that love you, God, and love her children, and love your children. God, strengthen them in this time of loss. You know, it's not easy to lose a father, mother, child, a brother, sister. But Lord, we ask you to strengthen them, and Father, if you do so, we are content to give you glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. We have prayed. I don't know if Bishop on the line, but if he is, you can come on, do the prayer of salvation. Bishop. Well, it looks like everybody dropped off. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this day. We thank you for the word. We ask you to bless the earwigs, bless the people. And Lord, if there's someone that don't know Jesus, Lord and Savior, we're going to do a quick prayer and close out. Somebody don't know Jesus, Lord and Savior, Lord, just accept them just as they are. They come to you this morning with a heart of repentance. And Lord, according to Romans 10:9, 10:11, said that if they confess with the mouth and believe the heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, they shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession made unto salvation. The scripture said, whosoever believe in Jesus Christ shall not be ashamed. And if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, according to John 3:16, says, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Just believe in the God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. We ask you, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Lord, we ask today that somebody would come to know Jesus, know him as Lord, know him as Savior. According to Acts 2:38, said that you must repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, according to Psalm 51, David repented for his sins and asked God to create in him a clean heart. If you don't know Jesus today, ask him. David said, I have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of the tender mercy, blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my, for I acknowledge my transgressions, for I acknowledge my transgressions and my sins ever before me. He said, against thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou might be justified when thou speakest and when thou judgest.
He said, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. He says, let's jump down to verse 10. He said, create in me a clean heart, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. David was repenting and asking God to cleanse him, to change him. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, right now, just say, Jesus, I heard the word. Lord Jesus, I heard the word, and I'm convicted in my spirit that this word is true. It is your word, not the preacher word, but your word. And Lord Jesus, I'm asking today, as I denounce Satan and all of his agents, that you would forgive me of my sins. I believe in the work of the cross, where you lay down your life on the cross, give your life, the righteous for the unrighteous, the just for the unjust. Lord Jesus, I recognize that I am a sinner in need of a Savior. And sin has played a great deal of preventing me from coming to you. But today I ask God, I acknowledge my faults, and I ask your forgiveness according to 1 John 1:9. I ask you to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And if you believe that Jesus died for you, just say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you died to set me free from sin. I acknowledge you as Lord, as Savior, and soon coming King. I open my heart to you, and I invite you to come in and take control of my heart. Save my life. Set me free, and I will be free. Save me, and I will be saved. And if you say that and you invite Jesus in your heart and believe that he came in, he has just did just that. Because the Bible says, by faith you have been saved through grace, not of works, lest any man should boast, but it is the gift of God. So the Bible said that Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through him. So you're coming in through Jesus Christ, through the blood that was shed at Calvary. And then you want to be baptized in Jesus' name, according to Acts 2:38, as we read earlier. We rehearsed it earlier. Ask Jesus now to, you want to be baptized. Call up a pastor, preacher, teacher, someone that know how to baptize in Jesus' name. And before you get baptized, invite your friends, your family, your co-workers, and even your enemy, because you want people to really be witnesses of this great occasion. This will be your new day, your new birthday. And then you want to just submit to the Lord Jesus and let him do what only he can do in his name. And when you go down in that water, consider that you're going down in a liquid grave. And you're coming up out of that grave, you're dying to self, and you're coming up to Jesus. Find a church that is preaching and teaching the gospel, and get yourself connected in ministry. Start doing something. Pick up trash from the building, clean the bathroom, set up the pews, do something. And God will choose where he wants to place you in his body. Thank you for listening to me today. Run off and read a part of my sermon. Pray that God bless you and keep you. Now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit continue to rest and abide upon us. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives as we dwell here in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Remember to tell someone that God loved him, you loved him, and Jesus is the only way. Thank you for being here with us today. Have a blessed day and a safe day. God bless you. Bye-bye.